Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself to his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and many were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with supplies that we needed. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, church. I've got some surprising news for you. A new study of the world's population revealed that the expected mortality rate amongst humans is still 100%. Researchers at the University of Fable College confirmed it on Tuesday. The surprising study found that given enough time, every single person on this planet will pass away completely irrespective of wealth, class, gender, race, nationality, or creed. The results are fairly conclusive. Head researcher Dr. Tongue-in-Cheek told reporters, "We expect to have a few who manage to buck the trend, but even the ultra-rich, famous, powerful will eventually go to the grave according to our research models." The study looked at population samples from various parts of the globe and confirmed that given enough time, every single member of the sample group would eventually one day face death. Even all 7.5 billion humans. At publishing time, those who were confronted with the results of this survey reportedly experienced a brief moment of introspection, followed by an attempt to push the thought of dying one day out of their minds and go about their lives as if they will live forever. Let me pray. Lord, we humble ourselves before your word this morning. We thank you that it's true, that it stands strong. We thank you that you continue to speak even into this context at this very moment. And so we become receptive, and we put ourselves in an attitude where we can hear your voice. We ask that your spirit would penetrate deep into our being, revealing your truth, showing us how we should live your way, revealing to us your will beyond our present understanding. We ask this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. It is news that we will not live forever and that on earth we only have a limited time. This church intends to make the most of the time we have and the resources that are at hand. We want to be the best that we can be for Jesus and the gospel in this world, and we want all our members to be ambassadors and to live the way of Jesus. Of course, over the last 3 weeks, concluding today, we have been covering our Church We See series. And so far, we've covered 4 different topics. I'm tempted to ask you if you could tell me what they are, but let me just read them out. They are invite and welcome, connect and nurture, equip and disciple, and today, send and serve. 4 distinct topics that we believe will define our church into the future and paint the picture of where we are going as God's people. And so all these things clearly fit under our defined purpose of bringing people to Jesus, and then join with me, and transforming them into his passionate disciples. You're so obedient. Wonderful. Let me clarify these four again, just so I can reinforce it this morning. Invite and welcome, connect and nurture, equip and disciple, send and serve. How about you join with me and we'll say them together? Invite and welcome, connect and nurture, equip and disciple, send and serve. Sounds like when we said times table at school, doesn't it? In the next short period of time, our teams and our leadership will be invited to identify which particular aspects of this, of our aspirational plans, of our mission plan, that they are working on. What are their strengths and what are their growth areas? We're not expecting every team to have this all sewn up or to push into all areas, but rather to be strong in a couple of areas. The council will do this survey and then collate all the results, and we will then understand where we are as a church, where our growth areas are. So today, I'll wrap up the last of this series. And I want to remind you that these are first order things for us as a church. Indeed, several of the series that we have covered this year, Five Habits of Disciple, the spiritual gifts series that we've worked over so far, are foundational for the years ahead. Talk more about that in a minute. So our final topic, I've been alluding to, is send and serve. Or our one-line paragraph under this topic says this: we will be God's witnesses in the world as we radically live out Christian faith, both locally and in the wider world, humbly and lovingly serving where God calls. That's what we're about. In keeping with my two-point sermons, here we go. Maybe next time I preach, back to three again. But here we go. First, send. Sending is simply that. It doesn't take a lot of explanation. We want to be a church that is sent into the world. Theologically, this has always been the church's mandate. We are the ones who are to go into the world as we emulate Jesus' mission towards us. In other words, we copy Jesus by going into the world around us. Not staying safely at home, not staying locked away in our enclaves, not being frightened. Sending infers an action that moves you away from home base. Sending is movement orientated. It requires an effort on our part. We want to be a church that makes an effort to engage others with the gospel. We want to be a church that makes an effort not just to move into the world, but move and to serve into the needs of the world. In short, we want to be a moving, doing, active church in the community around us. Graham Humphreys, who used to be one of the senior pastors here some years ago, I'm told, I never saw it, affixed a sign over the door, a sign that you could only see on the way out of the door, this front door out here. And the sign said, "You are now entering the mission field." Maybe we should find that sign and put it back up. That is what we're doing. We are going. It is important that we gather, and it's vital that we go. To that extent, we want to recognize people who go. We want to celebrate people who do this. And that's why we give time to Thailand and to other things to say, this is what we are about. We are a going church. For we believe this is the mandate of Jesus, and that we have a direct command to obey, to go. Quite a few years ago, I wrote a doctoral thesis, and as often what happens with theses is they be bound and sat on the shelf, and that's about it. They sit on the shelf. But I found a bit that I want to read to you this morning from my thesis. It's not boring, it'll be okay. It's a bit of a parable about the Australian landscape. And I invite with you to think with me about our great river, the Murray. Here we go. It's a slow river, deep and wide, but dangerous to the unwary. When it rains in some far distant catchment, the water gathers and the river engorges. The big, sleepy river becomes full. It swells and its banks break. And for a time, it runs wild with surging ferocity, washing all before it, running with a heightened speed into the lower lakes of the Coorong and then out into the Southern Ocean. Then as the water abates, it returns to its course and retreats into normality. Well, almost normality. For some stretches of the riverbanks have been changed irrevocably. The big river, with all its bends and turns, has in some strange way decided to straighten its path and to set a new course. Having done this, the river leaves behind small pools of water known as billabongs. Billabongs are where the river used to run in its former days. Now, ostracized from the river, they become life systems in their own right, life systems of a sort. Billabongs hold water, but it's stagnant water. No life apart from the occasional rain gathers in them. No fish apart from those originally trapped survive. It's a breeding ground for mosquitoes and snakes and turtles and yabbies. With that aside, billabongs are safe, very safe. Safe because there's no current, no floods, not a lot of change. The river, on the other hand, is dangerous. It's filled with sunken logs and debris. It has fast rapids, has twisting undertows. Many have drowned in its deep depths, and eventually it draws everything out to sea. The river, though, is full of life. It's always making new life, always changing. The Australian church loves to camp around the billabong. In fact, it's made its home there quite happily, and it's even built a series of permanent structures. Things are predictable in the billabong. The environment is controlled and can be managed. Change is slow, and the dangers are minimal. The occasional rain contributes to the life of the billabong, but that just fills the water level up slightly and lulls the church into the sense that it can grow. But the fishing is poor. Of course, eels love to be there, but eels aren't fish. Stagnant water doesn't breed good fish. The real fishing is in the river. It's teeming with fish. A quick glance at the bird life tells you how many fish there are in the water. They are abundant, even in dry years, for the water is deep. The river has all the oxygen it needs, all the nutrients it requires to be a self-sustaining life form. With the right bait, the fishing is good. However, the Australian church does not like to live by the river. Only a brave few go there, go to these extremes, and more often than not, these are the radicals, not from the established variety. The Australian church is too busy building and maintaining structures in safer places. Unlike Jesus, my parable is easy to understand. Unless we go, unless we are truly sent, unless we truly take grasp of what Jesus is calling us, we will remain in the backwater and remain largely irrelevant. Second point, service. At this point, I want to highlight that this is one of the great strengths of Seeds Church. It's a current value and one that I'm proud to be a part of. I've watched this firsthand and have been delighted to see this culture blossom and grow and take over and take root. And I want to say to you this morning, to Seeds Church this morning, well done. Well done in your service. And thank you to all those who serve in such a wide variety of categories and capacities. Thank you to those who turn up again and again, who put themselves out, who respond to calls, who go the extra mile. Thank you also, I make special mention of the new people who have just joined our welcome teams in the last few weeks. I want to say thank you to you. And I also want to say thank you. I want to say yes, in fact, it is true that younger people are allowed to join the welcome teams. In fact, we love all our church being involved in serving, welcome teams especially, we love it when whole families get together and serve, when we all get involved. If there are people here who are keen to serve at the Global Leadership Summit, and you didn't think that I was going to let one sermon go without mentioning the Global Leadership Summit, did you? If there are people here who are keen to serve at the GLS, then we'd love to have you. We have leaders coming from all over the state, and we want to give them a great experience. We want to make them feel glad that they actually came and were here because of our hospitality, because of our service. And so that's on the last Friday and Saturday in October. The thing is, though, that we don't want to just rest on our laurels when it comes to serving. We want to take a strength and make it our forte. We want Seeds to be the name that comes to other people's lips when they think of serving. We want to make it an undeniable part of what it is to be a member at Seeds. And the scripture reading that Bailey read to us from Acts 28, the last chapter of the book of Acts, it tells us about Paul's service and his desire to help others. And we pick up the story just after Paul's ship had been shipwrecked on the coast, on that little island. And prior to this narrative, Paul had been imprisoned for declaring his faith in Jesus. And he had been on this ship and weathered a storm that had lasted quite some time. And in this narrative, we find Paul again serving, picking up firewood to help warm those who had been washed ashore from this shipwreck. And as the story goes, he gets bitten on the arm. Obviously, he wasn't Australian, didn't look out for snakes. Bitten on the arm by this poison viper. But he doesn't die. He keeps on going. And there's all this stuff that goes on in the background or in the foreground. But what's going on in the background is that you'd think that at this point, Paul would say, I reckon I've done enough. I reckon if I could take a break, I probably would at this point. I mean, he's been a prisoner and he's been shackled to a Roman soldier for some months now. He's been on this boat that had a terrible storm, and obviously, you know, a lot of seasickness, and they were jettisoning everything, and actually people weren't eating for days, and he had to ask them all to eat. He's been snake bitten. But what does he do? Does he crawl under the bed and just say, look, I think I've done enough, Lord. I just count me out for a while because I reckon that's it. My limit is full. Does he watch back-to-back versions of The Bachelor? I don't know. I mean, does he just wind it back and say, I've had enough. I can't do any more. No, he doesn't. He continues to serve. He finds a need, finds that the proconsul of the place, his father was sick, so what does he do? He lays hands on him and heals him through the power of Jesus. And then what else happens? The whole town hears about it, and so he prays for so many others. He continues to serve on and on again. Here is a principle of our faith that we need to grasp and understand. Service is the DNA of a follower of Jesus. I need you to hear that really well. It's a simple point, but it's profound. Service is the DNA of a follower of Jesus. Serving is what a passionate disciple looks like. Despite hardship, despite troubles, despite trials, despite persecution, service is who we are as the people of God. We have great examples of service here at Seeds. Can I have that bottle of water? Thanks, Bailey. We have lots of examples of service here amongst us. People serve in ways that is extraordinary. People get on quietly and serve. That when I look and when I see and when I understand it moves me. Brings tears to my eyes when I see it. There are some here that I'd love to name, but I'm not going to embarrass them. Suffice to say that some here, in spite of all the issues going on for them, continue to serve and do so without complaint, without any murmurs. My friends, there are great examples around us. And I encourage you to see them. I encourage you to emulate those who you see serving. They are our heroes of faith. They set the example of what it looks like to follow Jesus. Our desire is to, in serving, goes broader, far broader than just who we are in-house. And our desire to serve includes our desire to plant churches. We see that planting churches is serving. It's serving those who don't know about Jesus with a chance to hear, a chance to respond to him. We see that sharing the gospel is serving those who are trapped without hope, without knowing the hope of Jesus, without knowing the love of God, without knowing the connection of the Spirit. We see that this is an absolutely vital way in which we serve our community around us. And I say to you, watch this space, because we have a heart's desire to serve and to plant churches. You see, this is all coming back to our mission statement, to be passionate disciples. We see passionate disciples as people who are not half-hearted, who are not lukewarm, who are not just sort of passe, just getting a pass mark, but not even slap-happy, but people who are, and dare I say it, who are radicals for the gospel. Radicals for love, radicals for hope, radicals to live out the way that Jesus teaches us and to emulate the way in which he lived. This means that we will serve anyone. We will be with the poor and serve them. We will be with people that others don't love, and we will serve them. We will be with those who stand in direct opposition to us, and we will serve them. We will even serve those who dislike us, those who maybe even hate us. We see a church that is a radical servant of God, of God's love to the world, shown by our hands and our feet. My friends, I brought you to the end of our mission plan, to the end of the Church We See series, but the beginning of achieving our aspirational values as a church, the beginning of what we're going to grow into. Let me assure you that these things that we will pursue and we will be talking about for a long time to come. The invitation is extended to all Seeds members to join in with where this bus is going. There are going to be some changes as we outlive these aspirational things, as we change our focus to pick up what is a different emphasis. There will be some unsettling times as we bring new things in and as we work through them and what they mean to us. There will be failure as we fall over in trying to serve, in trying to live out what we stated as our objects are. But do not fear. Why? Because this is God's church. This is God's place. And we are God's people. And we can trust that he has led us this far, and he will take us on into the future that he has planned for us. Our response is obedience, trust, and above all, love. Let me lead you in prayer. We don't do anything new, God, but to listen to your voice, to follow through on your example. You sent your Son into this world and incorporated us into your family. Your Son served us. Your Spirit continues to do so by bringing gifts in order for us to fulfill your mission into this world. We thank you for that. And so in serving, in going, in being sent, we just follow your pattern. We thank you that it's so clear, that it's so meaningful and purpose-filled. But we ask again, Lord, we ask for the courage to follow your way and to walk in your shoes as we serve this world in your name. We pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.